Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire movie, scene by scene, page by page, 1 hour at a time. I'm Will Campos, screenwriter flying solo today, as the story boys are still scattered to the winds for the holiday season. But don't fret, we've got a special treat for all of you today. Starting next week, we are going to be diving back in on Heaven Heist, the gripping tale of a crew of criminals robbing the celestial vault of heaven. And to get everybody back up to speed, we've cut together a recap of the story so far. What you're about to hear is the entire first act of Heaven Heist, the whole script read by us, as we were doing every week as the show was going on during the course of us writing it last year. We've taken all those scenes, we put them all together, and I gotta say, it's pretty cool. It's like listening to like the first act of a really thrilling audio drama. So sit back, relax, open the theater of the mind, the imagination, and let Heaven Heist steal you away. Exterior, shrine, day. A well-worn statue of Kai Shen, the Chinese god of wealth and prosperity, sits in a shrine in a public park overlooking Kowloon Bay. Atop his tiger wielding a golden rod, Kai Shen smiles up through a big bushy mustache as two adorable children, Keith and Julia, kneel before the shrine, hands clasped around burning incense sticks as they offer a prayer.
Dear Kai Shen, please bring wealth and prosperity to Mommy and Daddy's new restaurant. They work so hard, and we just want them to be happy again.
As they pray, a shadow falls over them as four ominous figures in cool suits step up to the shrine. Tequila, a gruff, burly gangster, grabs the kids by the scruff and shoves them away from the shrine.
Scram, brats. We're in a hurry here.
Julia and Keith run away crying. Tequila and three more gangsters kneel at the shrine. Tequila offers an orange to Kai Shen.
Oh, wise and benevolent Kai Shen. Please watch over my crew and let today's currency heist be a specially prosperous one.
He elbows the next gangster in line. Brandy, 20s, bomber jacket, mean scowl.
Brandy, you're up.
Brandy cracks her knuckles and ponies up an orange.
Kai Shen, please let my shotgun aim true.
Hey, no killing today.
Brandy rolls her eyes.
And let my knuckles make a dentist very prosperous.
Tequila looks bastard at Cognac, fancy pantsuit, $4,000 sunglasses, super cool demeanor. She sets an orange on the shrine.
Cognac?
Please let my Jimmy Choo's get unscuffed and show the security camera pick me up. Please let my hair look amazing.
No one's going to see your hair. We're all wearing these.
He throws a ski mask at her. She looks at it with disgust.
Whiskey, let's go.
Tequila glances at Whiskey, 19, acne, ill-fitting reservoir dog suit. Whiskey nervously offers his orange and mumbles a prayer.
Please watch over those kids and let their parents find happiness.
All the other gangsters whack him on the head in annoyance. He offers a second orange.
Please make sure no one gets hurt on our heist today.
All four gangsters bow in reference. A scowl forms on Tequila's face as he tosses a sarcastic question over his shoulder.
Last chance, Jin. Anything you'd like to add?
Kyle, a.k.a. Jin, a jaded, handsome gangster, leans out the window from behind the wheel of a Hong Kong taxi cab. He takes a cigarette out of his mouth and takes a big chomp from an orange.
No.
Hey, those oranges are an offering.
Kyle, indifferent, takes one last drag from his cigarette, then flicks it at the shrine. All four gangsters gasp in horror as the cigarette flies past them and bounces off Kai Shen. Whiskey hurriedly dusts off the statue and bows profusely.
Oh, please forgive our getaway driver.
We're late. Let's go.
The gangsters march over to the car and hop inside. Tequila buckles into the passenger seat and shakes his head at Kyle.
You're going to hell, you know that?
Ain't no such thing, baby.
Kyle stomps on the gas. The tires peel out and smoke rises into the air as we pan across the bay to the glittering lights of Hong Kong. Interior / exterior currency exchange store day. Over credits, a fast and fluid montage of shots as our crew of criminals knock over a dingy currency exchange store. Tequila, posing as a TV repairman, enters the store, a toolbox in hand. A relieved employee spots him and leads him through a door past a bulletproof glass window. As he steps through the door, Tequila slips a piece of tape over the door's lock, keeping it ever so slightly open. A security guard yawning in the corner looks up to see Cognac and Brandy, ski masks on, busting through the door. Before he can even shout in protest, Brandy cracks him across the jaw with a big beefy punch. The two ladies slip through the open doors as the security guard crumbles to the floor. Outside, Whiskey, disguised as an environmental activist, unfurls a big standing banner in front of the currency exchange store window, obscuring the robbery inside. The banner reads, "Save our planet." Clutching a clipboard, Whiskey starts pestering passersby to sign a petition. They all hurriedly cross the street away from the heist. Tequila pulls out two bundles of zip ties from his toolbox and chucks one to Brandy. They set about tying up the employee and the security guard beneath the bulletproof window as Cognac cracks a safe with a suite of high-tech gizmos. One of the gizmo doohickeys beeps expensively, and the safe swings open, revealing huge stacks of cold, hard cash. Jin, sitting behind the wheel of an idling taxicab, smiles as he watches the crew stroll casually out of the store, bulging duffel bags slung over their shoulders. He flips the on-duty light on his cab as they climb inside. The gang drives off with no one the wiser. Interior, cab, day. A line of speeding cop cars zoom by in the opposite direction as Jin drives our crew away from the crime scene. Whiskey, stuffed in the middle seat in the back between cognac and brandy, flips through a big stack of cash, awestruck. Tequila scolds him from the front seat.
Hey, hide that cash, dummy.
Cognac pleads with Tequila as she pours herself a snifter of cognac from a flask.
Oh, let the kid have his fun. He's never seen that much money in his life.
No drinking in the car.
Whiskey strokes the money and rubs it against his face.
Oh my gosh, I can finally go to college with this.
Brandy scoffs as she cleans and reloads her shotgun.
College is for people who don't know how to shoot shotguns.
Put that gun away.
Brandy gives him a defiant scowl as she pumps the shotgun. Tequila fumes. Jin rolls his eyes and turns up the radio. Cool jazz pumps through the speakers and gets cut off by the chime of a ringing phone hooked up to the Bluetooth. Jin's eyes shoot wide open. His phone sitting on the dashboard lights up. The caller ID reads Mom. Jin quickly hangs up the phone. Tequila's jaw
drops. Did you just hang up on your mom?
Oh, we're on the job.
She's your mom.
Give me a break, Confucius.
The phone rings again.
She's calling back. It must be an emergency.
Jin hangs up the phone. Everyone gasps, outraged.
Dang, dude, that's cold-blooded.
I'd be so grounded for that.
The screen lights up again. New voicemail. Mom. Jin reaches for the phone. Tequila snatches it away from him first. Jin frowns and speeds up, trying to focus on the road. Tequila plays the voicemail. He stares daggers at Jin as he listens along.
She's wondering if you're okay.
Aw, she sounds nice.
She wants to know if you're coming for dinner tonight. She's cooking your favorite, spaghetti and meatballs.
I love Italian food. Can she adopt me?
Jin fumes in silent rage as the cab rolls to a stop at a red light.
Hang up the phone, Tequila.
She's scared something happened to you. She's calling your brother.
The phone rings again. A photo of a smiling Buddhist monk appears on screen. The caller ID reads, Brother. Jin finally snaps. He snatches the phone and mashes answer.
I'm working!
Enraged, Jin throws the phone out of the window, and it hits a traffic cop in the back of the head. The crew freezes in terror. The cop, busy writing a ticket for a parked car, bends down, picks up the phone, and slowly turns to face them. She's pissed.
Hey, did you throw this phone? Hide the gun, hide the cash, hide the booze.
Whiskey, cognac, and brandy all scramble to stuff the flask, cash, and shotgun into the duffel bag.
She's coming, hurry.
Way to go, Jin.
What are you trying to do? Get us all killed?
As they shove the duffel bag under the back seat, Brandy's shotgun fires. The bag explodes. The blast knocks the door off the hinges. The cop dives for cover. When she looks up, she's facing a smoldering cab with no side door and hundreds of flaming bills fluttering in the air. Our gangsters stare at her for a dumbstruck beep. The cop grabs her radio.
I need backup!
Jin stomps on the gas and the cab peels rubber down the road. Interior taxicab day. Sirens howl around the cab as the cops pursue our criminal crew from all sides. Jin grips the wheel and adjusts his mirrors, getting a good look at the cops behind him.
Everybody buckle up.
Tequila shakes his head.
You and your temper.
Seatbelts click as Tequila, Cognac, and Brandy buckle up. Whiskey looks down in fear as he realizes he doesn't have a seatbelt.
I don't have a seatbelt.
Brandy and Cognac stick their arms out in front of him. Whiskey holds onto them for dear life. Jin draws a deep breath, steadying his nerves. He pulls out an unlit cigarette and sticks it between his lips. He exhales and stops the gas. As he spins the wheel and throws the cab around a corner, we kick off a bitchin' car chase. Exterior Hong Kong day. Jin flies like a bat out of hell through the crowded streets of Hong Kong. His moves are slick, cunning, precise. Hairpin maneuvers, daring drifts, audacious hair-raising shortcuts down blind alleys and through oncoming traffic. Behind him, cops in pursuit wreck and spin out. But that traffic cop, riding her motorcycle with a steely glare, sticks to them through it all like glue. Jin furrows his brow and grips the wheel tight, the traffic cop still hot on their trail. He makes a sharp turn onto a busy street and finds himself hurtling towards a bumper-to-bumper traffic jam. Jin slams on the brakes, barely avoiding a wreck. Up the street, two buses have collided in an intersection. This is why you read your script out loud. Up the street, two buses have collided in an intersection. The drivers yell at each other as everyone honks their horns. Interior, cab, day. With no way forward and the cops closing in fast behind, the crew begins to panic.
Oh, we're trapped. Run, we'll run for it.
Run, we're dead. Just stay calm.
But Tequila looks to Jin with worry in his eyes. Jin narrows his focus, scanning the environment as the sirens grow louder, and he spots his exit plan. Jin shifts into reverse, floors it, weaving backwards through the oncoming cops, and pulls into a nearby parking garage. Interior parking garage / interior cab day. Jin zooms through the parking garage, climbing higher and higher.
Jin?
Shut up and hang on.
The traffic cop snarls as she revs her engine, pursuing them up through the garage, two police cars behind her. Exterior parking garage, roof, day. The cab zooms out onto the roof of the parking garage. Jin punches the gas and the cab speeds straight towards the wall. A look of fear fills the traffic cop's eyes as she realizes what they're about to do. Interior cab day. The gangsters scream as Jin rams the cab through the wall and sends them flying through the air. Exterior Hong Kong streets day, the cab sails off of the three-story parking garage towards the intersection below and lands on top of the empty double-decker buses driving across their roofs before landing on the opposite side of the intersection, leaving the cops trapped in the traffic jam on the other side. Exterior parking garage roof day. The traffic cop skids to a halt at the edge of the roof. She watches the cab speeding off into the distance below. Enraged, she lets out a scream and fires her pistol into the air like Keanu Reeves in Point Break.
Is this traffic cop going to be a character that comes back?
I don't know. I'm obsessed with her now. Interior cab day. The gangsters give a raucous, triumphant cheer. Whiskey turns green, about to hurl. Tequila gives Jin a proud pat on the shoulder. Jin suppresses a grin. He looks down at the unlit cigarette in his lips. With a cocky, relaxed smile, he pulls out a Zippo and sparks up a flame. Just then, an old lady steps out onto the road in front of them. Cue super slow motion. Jin stares at the old woman. For the first time, fear fills his face. He scans the environment. To the left, a wall of oncoming traffic. To the right, the churning waters of Kowloon Bay. Ahead of him, the old woman looks up and locks eyes with Jin. Jin winces, grips the wheel, and spins it to the right in slow motion. The cab veers sharply, clips the curb.
Sorry. Small point. It'd be to the left, because it's Hong Kong as they drive on the left.
Oh, okay.
CinemaSins Freddy at it again.
In Hong Kong, the ocean is always on the left. In slow motion, the cab veers sharply, clips the curb, goes into a roll, smashes through a guardrail, and careens into Kowloon Bay. As the cab hits the water, we cut to black. Interior, ferry boat, day. Jin winces with terror, braced for impact, hands outstretched, holding a non-existent steering wheel. After a moment, he opens his eyes in confusion and realizes he is sitting on a long bench in a mostly empty ferry boat. Jin looks around, puzzled. He spots a few more people seated throughout the ferry, each looking a bit dazed. Silence hangs in the air. Jin peers out a nearby window but sees nothing but thick white fog. Suddenly, a middle-aged man appears next to him, giving an agonized moan and clutching at his heart. Jin stares at him, surprised. The man looks up at him with blank confusion. More people are appearing out of thin air every few seconds all around the ferry, each of them playing out the last moments of their life on Earth. An old woman in a hospital gown wakes up from a peaceful slumber. A soaking wet snorkeler coughs up water from his lungs. A depressed salaryman holds an invisible gun to his head, then looks up in confusion, rubbing his temple. A look of realization slowly dawns on Jin's face. His jaw goes slack with a grim epiphany. Then with a sigh and a shrug, he leans back in his seat. The other passengers, by contrast, cry, panic, and babble in wonderment as they process what's happened to them. Jin pulls out a cigarette and tries to light it up, but his Zippo won't spark. He frowns and glances around. Up at the front of the ferry by the main door, he spots an angel in a bright blue uniform sitting on a stool and reading the newspaper. Jin gets up and heads to the angel. A buzz of voices fills the air, the ferry now brimming full of deceased passengers. Jin nods to the angel.
Hey, pal, got a light?
No fire.
Huh?
The angel, annoyed, folds down his paper and barks at Jin.
There's no fire here. Just smoke it.
How?
The angel goes back to his paper, ignoring him. Jin looks down at his unlit cigarette and takes a drag. To his surprise, the tip glows orange and his lungs fill with smoke. He smiles, impressed. Heavenly bells chime over a nearby intercom speaker. The ferry jostles to a halt. The angel sets his newspaper down and grabs a megaphone.
Attention, please. You've arrived at the gates of the afterlife. Please exit to the right, watch your step, and follow the red signs to your final judgment.
A bustle of commotion as people get up from their seats, still baffled and terrified. The angel brushes past Jin and opens the front door. His face fills with awe as he blows out a puff of smoke, beholding. Exterior, the gates of the afterlife, day. A massive, sparkling city in the clouds. The dense skyline stretches for miles into the air. It's like 20 Hong Kongs stacked on top of each other. The city is ringed by a massive wall, dotted with gates along its base. Long docks stretch out from each of the gates, filled with huge lines of passengers disembarking from ferries. A dazed Jin walks in a long line, shuffling forward. Another angel paces back and forth alongside the line, looking as bored as can be as she repeats a well-worn speech.
You have died and are currently dead. Please proceed forward in a calm and orderly fashion. In a few moments, you will be weighed on the karmic scales of justice to determine your placement in the afterlife. Americans, please do not remove your shoes when stepping on the karmic scale. Once again, you have died and you're currently dead. Please.
The middle-aged woman in front of Jin suddenly drops to her knees, having a full-on existential breakdown.
No, no. Oh, God. I'm not ready for this. Send me back. Send me back.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Ma'am, please keep moving. No new prayers will be considered at this time.
The woman lets out a wail of despair. The angel frowns. She whispers into into her walkie-talkie.
We've got a weeper at gate 32.
She looks up to Jin and gestures for him to move to a new line.
Sir, please go on ahead to the next gate over.
She points to gate 33 off to the right, currently with no line. Jin moves out of line and scoots past the wailing woman on the ground. Exterior gate 33, day. Jin steps up to gate 33. In front of a glittering golden gate sits a cheery angel at a tiny desk. Next to him stands a big cylindrical scanner, like the ones you'd see at a TSA checkpoint. As he reaches the gate, Jin sees a person standing in the scanner, looking nervous as he awaits his fate. The scanner churns and hums. The angel stares at a small screen on the side of the scanner, rubbing his chin. Curious, Jin cranes his neck to see what's on the screen. On screen, a frenetic montage of first-person memories flicker past, the man's life flashing before the eyes of the cheery little angel. Jin sees glimpses of police sirens, bloody hands, firing pistols, the last moments of a life of crime. Suddenly, with a muzzle flash, the montage ends and the screen shines red. The angel winces.
Ooh, tough break. Next stop, the hell of disembowelments.
The angel mashes a button on the scanner and its bottom falls out. Red light and the infernal sounds of human misery fill the air as the man in the scanner plummets, screaming into an infernal abyss. The scanner slides shut and the cheery little angel looks up at Jin with a smile.
Next contestant, please. Step on up.
Jin, growing unnerved, takes a step forward. The angel waves him on with an eager smile.
Come on. No reason to fret. That last guy was a ruthless criminal. A bank robber. I'm sure you'll do fine, sonny.
Jin gulps and steps into the scanner, raising his hands.
And away we go.
The angel punches a button and the scanner rumbles to life. Beams of light whoosh up and down all over Jin's body. Jin gives a nervous glance over to the angel. He can't see the screen from inside the scanner, but he can see the angel's smile slowly fade into a grim, purse-lipped frown. The scanner turns louder and faster. The lights spin and swirl. Fear breaks out on Jin's face. He's sweating bullets. Jin looks down and shuffles into a wider stance, trying to brace himself against the frame of the scanner. He sticks his hands to the glass, but they slip off. Jin squints, his eyes shut, braced for the absolute worst. A cheery bell chimes, and the scanner door slides open. Jin looks up in stunned relief. The angel pokes his head in, smiling.
Oh, boy, that was a squeaker. I had you pegged for the hell of burning oils. Good thing you saved that old lady right at the end there. Right this way, please.
Jin tries to look unsurprised with a nonchalant shrug and a puff of his cigarette, and almost pulls it off, except for his trembling hands. The squeak of an opening gate draws his gaze upward, and his eyes fill with awe as gate 33 opens and the golden light of heaven spills onto his face. Exterior, Heaven City, day. Jin steps through the gates and beholds a bustling metropolis on the other side, surreal in size and scope. 1,000 glittering skyscrapers loom large, looking down on busy streets packed with people. For a moment, Jin just stares up in awe at the sheer scale of this place. Then the booming vroom of a luxury sports car's engine draws his gaze back down to the street. Jin finds himself standing on a crowded sidewalk under the shadow of the gates. It's pretty much like the passenger pickup zone of a busy airport. Tons of recently deceased people mill about as an array of bitchin' luxury whips pull up to the curb to receive them. It's Lambos and Bugattis galore. A golden horse-drawn buggy pulls up right in front of Jin. A dapper old gent in a fancy suit steps out. The old woman standing next to Jin gasps, then cries with joy upon seeing him. They rush into each other's arms and embrace.
My love!
I'm so happy to see you, darling, and I'm not the only one.
The old man opens the door of the buggy, and dozens of corgis rush out, ecstatic, and greet the old woman with tails wagging away.
My babies!
Amazingly, one of the dogs talks back to her in a soothing baritone voice. At last, you have returned to us, mother. Jin watches the joyous reunion, one of dozens happening all around him, with a disaffected smirk. But after a moment, he can't help but search amongst the crowd for a familiar face. Then the shrill beep of a bike horn cuts through the air.
Kyle! Kyle!
Jin looks up. His eyes shoot wide as he sees. Grandma, 80s, a salty-looking badass on a beat-up old moped, rocking huge old lady sunglasses, a cigarette dangling from her lip. She grins as she revs her engine and pulls up next to Jin on the sidewalk. A smile and a pang of emotion swell on Jin's face.
Grandma?
I couldn't believe it when they told me you made it up here. Kyle, that little brat, I had you pegged for the hell of snake torture. Tops.
Nice to see you too, Gram. Where's everyone else?
Not a whole lot of us make it up here. Now quit yapping and hop on. I gotta get to the bank before work.
Confusion flashes on Jin's face as he hops on behind Grandma.
Work?
Grandma guns the engine and the moped lurches forward with a screech of the tires. She swerves around that talking dog as it's loading back up into the golden buggy. I say there, watch the road. Grandma and Jin zoom off towards the city as the moped's engine whines. The dog shakes his head and mutters to another dog. They'll let anyone in here these days. Exterior, Heaven Streets, day. Grandma zooms through a busy street as Jin clings on behind her. Jin looks around, taking in the sights of the city.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm really glad you're here. With you and me both making deliveries, we can double our profits.
Profits? I thought this was heaven. What do you need money for?
Grandma gives a wry chuckle.
What do you not need it for, huh? Food? Rent? Entertainment? I'm saving up for a big flat-screen TV. I want my Ashton Kutcher life-size. I want to touch him.
Exterior, fancy townhome, day. Grandma hands a to-go bag of Hainan chicken to a sharply dressed snob standing in the doorway of his fancy townhome. We hear the noise of an elegant cocktail party in the background. The man chucks a handful of coins at Grandma and shuts the door in her face. Grandma counts her coins as she walks back towards Jin, sitting on the moped, staring in disbelief.
I gotta admit, this isn't exactly what I was expecting. I thought it'd be more like...
Grandma revs the engine and they take off once more down the street.
Like what?
Jin spots something on the side of a passing building.
Like that.
Grandma looks up. Jin points to a huge mural depicting a tranquil scene of paradise. Dozens of people in simple robes in a wide, serene meadow, each resting under a tree, sitting on a rock and staring out at a beautiful pond. Grandma scoffs.
It used to be. Well, back in the day, all this place was a tree to sit under, a rock to sit on, and a pond to stare at. Luckily, some genius back on Earth got the idea to pay their respects by burning stuff to send it up here, and that's how we got all this.
Grandma hangs a turn onto Market Street. Jin's eyes go wide. Exterior Market Street, day. The moped drives down a bustling street market with stores selling everything and anything. Grandma weaves the moped through a throng of people hawking and haggling over cell phones, Maseratis, priceless art, and fancy clothes from every era of history.
Everything that gets sent up from Earth can be yours for the right price. If you want money, there's only two ways to get it. Either you earn it or they burn it.
Grandma parks her moped in front of a large, imposing building that looks like an ancient Chinese palace. The sign out front reads, Celestial Bank of Heaven. Grandma hops off the moped. Jin follows her up the steps towards the bank, giving a wary glance to an angelic security guard along the way. Interior Bank of Heaven, day. Inside, the temple resembles a bustling modern bank. Grandma and Jin step up to a teller's window. A cheery angel sits on the other side.
Anything for my ungrateful family?
The teller peers at her computer screen, fingers flying over a keyboard.
Let's see. Yes, there was a deposit last week.
She punches a button and whoosh! A small canister arrives at the window through an elaborate pneumatic tube system. Grandma pops open the canister and empties its contents into her hand. A measly handful of gold coins tumbles out, along with a note. The note reads, Love you, Grandma, Ken. Grandma sighs as she looks at the note, then holds it up to Jin.
Well, bless that brother of yours. He's the only one of you bums who ever sends me money. Too bad he's taking that vow of poverty.
Grandma crumples the note and heads for the door. Exterior Bank of Heaven, day. Grandma stands on the steps, counting her coins. Jin glances around at the other people exiting the bank. Rich folks in fancy clothes haul wheelbarrows full of gold into their waiting luxury cars. A pang of resentment shoots across Jin's face.
Now, since you never started a family or made any friends, you're going to be a little cash poor up here until our business picks up. But don't worry, Grandma's got your back.
She takes half her coins and puts them in Jin's hand. But before he can pocket them, she starts taking coins away.
Minus room and board, minus moped deposit, minus delivery uniform, minus delivery uniform embroidery. Hey, what size jumpsuit you wear?
Jin looks down at his palm, one lousy gold coin left. He lets out an impatient sigh.
Grandma, I'm not gonna...
Don't worry. This isn't a charity, it's a loan. You're gonna pay me back, with interest. So let's get to work. The lunch rush is coming up.
She hops back onto her moped and fires it up. Jin lingers behind.
Hey, all due respect, Grandma, but slinging Hainan chicken all over town for the next 10 million years isn't my idea of paradise.
Well, kid, you got two options. Either you join the rat race and carve out a little piece of eternity for yourself, or you can join the wannabe Buddhas in the park and try to reach enlightenment.
She nods over to a nearby park. The scene resembles the mural we saw earlier. People in simple robes sitting on rocks under trees staring out at little ponds.
They say that if you figure it out, you ascend to a higher plane of existence filled with emotions a million times more powerful than love.
Jin studies the wannabe Buddhas with a skeptical glance. Many meditate in silence, but others perform all manner of ritual, balancing on one foot, bathing in the pond, dancing, hanging upside down from the tree, anything and everything to unlock the secrets of the universe.
How long does that usually take?
Beats the heck out of me. I haven't seen it once since I got here. But hey, maybe you'll be the one to figure it out. Think you've got the Buddha nature, Jin? Or do you want to get to work and make that paper?
She hops onto her moped and guns the engine. Jin looks at the monks, then back to his grandma, then lets out a long, weary sigh. He flips the coin in the air and opens his shirt pocket beneath it. But right as the gold coin falls into his pocket, we cut to Exterior Overpass, day. Jin, soaking wet, snaps awake under a dingy overpass next to Kowloon Bay. He looks down at his open shirt, then up at Tequila, standing over him with a pair of smoking jumper cables. Tequila sighs with relief. Behind Tequila, Whiskey sticks his head out of the window of a hot-wired car. The jumper cables snake from the opened hood to Tequila's hands.
Did it work?
It worked, you lucky bastard.
Jin, still dazed, coughs up a lungful of water. Tequila lifts him to his feet and helps him over towards the car.
What happened to the money?
Cognac, busy fishing loose bills out of the bay, glowers at Jin as she stuffs a wad of wet currency into her pockets.
You dumped it into the fucking ocean, idiot! Hey, Jin, are you okay, man? That was crazy.
Jin gives Whiskey a shaky thumbs up as Tequila puts him in the car. In the distance, the wailing howl of police sirens draws near. Brandy, peering through a scenic viewfinder, watches a line of cop cars racing towards them from across the bay.
Copperino's en route, let's murder!
She grabs her shotgun back from an awestruck six-year-old standing next to the viewfinder.
Thanks, you can have this back now.
She rushes over to the car. The gang climbs in. Tequila offers a cigarette to a rattled Jin, still getting his bearings. He takes the cig and glances out the window. A billboard catches his eye. It's Ashton Kutcher, lounging by a sumptuous fireplace, holding a big sloppy burrito and a spoonful of guacamole.
That's so
The text beneath him reads in an elegant cursive font, "A taste of heaven." Jin, unnerved, throws the cigarette out the window. Whiskey stomps the gas and the gang drives off. Interior, garage, hideout, night. A roll-up door slides open as our crew rushes into a sparse garage/safe house. Tequila and Brandy, carrying Jin, set him down in a chair. Cognac slams a duffel bag on the table and starts laying out stacks of wet cash. Whiskey paces back and forth, hyperventilating into a paper bag.
Well, here it is. Fruits of our labor. Come get your money.
Brandy looks through her tiny pile of soggy money and scoffs.
This is it? $200 a piece? I say we split Jin's cut.
She reaches for Jin's pile. He springs to life and snatches his cash.
That's not gonna happen.
Listen, asshole. Getaway drivers are supposed to get us away, not drive us into the ocean. She's got a point, dude. What happened?
I didn't have a choice.
Bullshit. We had a clear exit and then you swerved into a food cart. Why?
Jin looks away, embarrassed and vulnerable.
Forget it. Take my stupid cut. Enjoy your $50. Here, take my change too.
Jin digs into his pockets and slaps a handful of change onto the table. As he lifts his hand, he double takes. Sitting on the table amidst his pile of coins is a solid gold medallion. Jin's eyes go wide. He covers the coin in an instant before anyone else sees.
No one's taking anybody's cut.
Tequila returns to the table with five brown envelopes. He passes them out to the crew.
Here, passports, plane tickets, new IDs. You'll want to lay low for the first 3 years.
Meanwhile, an awestruck Jin discreetly examines the gold coin. Sure enough, engraved on the front is a picture of the Celestial Bank of Heaven. He stares at the coin, dumbfounded, tuning out the world around him. He snaps back to attention when Tequila hands him his envelope. Whiskey frowns as he examines his new passport.
Olaf Torgerson? I gotta go all the way to Norway to run from the cops?
Tequila gives Whiskey a fatherly pat on the shoulder.
We ain't hiding from the cops, kid. We're running from her.
Her?
Brandy sees something behind them and her face goes pale. She raises a trembling finger and points at
her.
Everyone looks up and gasps as they see a tough, hunky gangster in a sharp suit standing in the doorway. He nods at Tequila, then steps aside, revealing another tough, hunky gangster dude right behind him. Dude number two nods, steps to the side, revealing hunky gangster dude number three. One by one, we continue in this fashion until 17 hunky gangsters fill the room. They stand in a perfect line, arms folded, glowering in silence at our terrified crew. A tense beat. Then, the five centermost hunks rip off their shirts, revealing rippling tattooed bods. With the fluid grace of a Cirque du Soleil troupe, they lock arms, bend over, and somehow, incredibly, form a human chaise sofa. A sixth hunk rips off his shirt and drops to all fours, forming an ottoman upon which another hunk puts a bowl of grapes. A badass old lady in a mink coat and enough jewelry to sink a pirate ship steps into the room. This is Miss Wonderful. Everybody but Whiskey freezes in silent terror as Miss Wonderful takes a seat on her buff man sofa, kicks up her feet, and smiles.
Where's my money?
Tequila rushes forward and drops to his knees.
Miss Wonderful, please forgive us. There was a complication on the job. These things happen, you know, even to a seasoned crew. It's just bad luck is all.
Miss Wonderful sighs. She glances up to a retinue of hunks. In an instant, two hunks unfurl a clear plastic poncho and place it ever so gently around her. Tequila's eyes go wide.
Where's my money?
We can pay you back. We just need time. A month or two to scout out a new job, but we'll pay back every cent we owe, plus interest.
Miss Wonderful frowns. Under her clear poncho, she makes a finger gun and aims it at Tequila. In the blink of an eye, every hunk draws a pistol from his jacket and aims at our crew. They tremble.
Where's my money?
Tears stream down Tequila's face. Jin glances at Miss Wonderful's goons, then looks down at the gold coin in his hand, his mind racing.
We don't have it.
Miss Wonderful cocks her finger gun by pulling back her thumb. The hunks cock their pistols. Our crew cowers. Jin closes his eyes, a look of resignation on his face.
In that case, you're fired.
I can get you double.
All eyes turn to Jin. Miss Wonderful looks up, confused. She cups a hand around her ear.
What's that, young man?
Jin flips the gold medallion across the room to her. Miss Wonderful catches it and examines the coin.
I've been putting a job together on the side. Gold heist. 20 million easy. But it's a 5-man job. We'll need a month to pull it off.
Miss Wonderful raises the coin. A hot man's mouth comes into frame and nibbles at it, like the scene in Alien, but it's a man and the gold coin is Ripley. Freddy wrote that line. He nods to Miss Wonderful. It's real.
Where's the gold?
Jin draws up as much cool as he can muster.
I'd tell you, but then I'd have to shoot you.
Miss Wonderful's hunk army tenses up. Their guns all lock onto Jin. Miss Wonderful gives a wry grin. She gives the coin a final look, then flips it back to Jin.
You've got 1 week. See you then.
Miss Wonderful snaps her fingers. The man's sofa buckles.
That's the first time I've heard this sentence ever.
The man's sofa bucks to life as the men comprising it slowly scoot out the door. Miss Wonderful giggles with delight. The last hunk out closes the door behind them and the crew breathes with a sigh of relief.
It's definitely the last hunk is part of the couch. It's just like a hand comes out of the couch and closes the door behind them.
Yes, that thing Matt said.
Gold heist, you slick bastard. You've been holding out on us.
Jin holds up the coin and gives a what have I gotten myself into gulp. Brandy takes the coin and examines it. The crew gathers round her, intrigued.
So where's the loot? Bank vault? Coin collection?
Yeah, Jin, tell us, what's the job?
Jin takes out a cigarette, lights up, and takes a big, long drag.
Finally.
He exhales a plume of smoke, then looks them dead in the eyes.
We're gonna rob the Bank of Heaven.
Cut to exterior safe house night. Whiskey, brandy, tequila, and cognac angrily storm out of the safe house. Jin follows them, pleading.
Guys, wait, I'm serious.
Exterior safe house night. Whiskey, brandy, tequila, and cognac storm out of the safe house. Jin follows them, pleading.
Guys, wait up. I'm serious.
Jin turns to cognac, dialing a number on her phone.
We can make a fortune.
She silences him with an upraised middle finger.
Hi, Siberia Skyway. I'm on flight 703. How much for a first class upgrade?
Jin grumbles and turns away and comes face to face with Whiskey, shining a pen light in his eyes.
Jin, follow this light and count backwards from 90.
Jin swats the flashlight out of his hand.
Ah, shit.
I'm not crazy.
Hey, whatever, man. Just check into a hospital. Brain damage is no joke.
Down the street, Bourbon hops onto a big, beefy motorcycle and fires up the engine.
Come on, guys. Are you going to walk away from the score of a lifetime?
You bet your ass we are. See you in hell, Jin.
She guns the engine and zooms off down the road. Right as she leaves, Whiskey scoots into frame on his rinky-dink bicycle, clips on his helmet, and glares at Jin.
Yeah!
Whiskey tries to peel out all cool like Bourbon did, but his chain instantly snaps and he stumbles off his bike.
Oh, man.
Jin turns to Tequila, who's busy locking up the safe house.
Tequila, you believe in this shit, don't you?
In heaven? Sure.
Then come on, man. There's billions where this came from.
Well, and you're the guy to steal it, huh? The guy who'd rather save an old lady than make 10 million bucks?
Jin looks away, embarrassed.
Hey, don't feel bad. If you made it all the way to heaven, you must be doing something right. My advice is keep doing it.
Tequila pulls another brown envelope from his pocket, marked Jin. He opens it and peers at the tickets inside.
Cincinnati.
Tequila hands him the envelope. Jin snatches it.
Sorry, kid. Not everyone's cut out to be a criminal.
As Tequila walks away, a furious Jin calls out to him.
So go then. Who needs you? You're a geriatric stick-up man, still taking orders from a thirsty old cougar in a mink coat.
Tequila just ignores him as he gets into his car and turns on the engine.
Nothing to say, huh? Screw you, Tequila. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I can do this on my own.
Jin crumples the envelope and throws it into the water.
There's 5,000 bucks in that envelope, Jin.
Tequila drives off. Jin gasps. Cut to exterior safe house later. Jin, soaking wet, wrings out his wet socks along the side of the river. He stares up at the glittering lights of the city and frowns. He fishes that gold coin out of his pocket and stares at it for a hard, contemplative beat. Jin lets out a weary, hopeless sigh. Then his phone rings again. He looks down and sees the smiling face of his brother, dressed in the robes of a monk. Hope sparkles anew in Jin's eyes as an idea forms in his mind. Interior, Lily's apartment, night. Freddy, 33, a dweeby, bespectacled goofball in the orange robes of a Buddhist monk, claps his hands and sings the chicken song as Jin does the chicken dance in the middle of a tiny, cluttered apartment. You know the chicken song, right?
No, what is the chicken song?
Jin, fed up, stops dancing and complains to Lily, 60s, kind-faced, setting out bowls of rice on a table packed with delicious food.
Mom, tell him to stop clapping. He knows it drives me crazy.
Sorry, that's the rules. If you're late for dinner, you do the chicken dance. Mean to Mom?
That's a chicken dance.
Fighting with your brother?
That's a chicken dance.
Okay, boys, time to eat.
Jin and Freddy sit down at the table. Jin grabs his chopsticks and is about to dig in when...
Ahem.
Lily shoots a glare to Jin, then nods to Freddy, who solemnly bows his head and offers a prayer.
We reflect on the effort that brought us this food and consider how it comes to us. We reflect on our virtue and practice and whether we are worthy of this offering. We regard greed as the obstacle to freedom of the mind. We regard this meal as medicine to sustain our life for the sake of enlightenment. We now receive this food.
The family begins to eat.
So, Kyle, how was your day?
Jin gives a shifty glance around as he stuffs rice in his mouth.
It was fine.
It seemed like you were pretty busy when I tried to call you earlier.
Yeah, sorry about that. Things were pretty hectic on the streets today.
Lily's eyes light up.
That's right. There was that big bank robbery. Those maniacs were all over the road.
You didn't get caught up in that, did you?
No way.
They had some great footage of it on the news. Oh, you know, I never saw how it ended.
Lily turns on the TV and moves over to the couch to watch the evening news.
Hey, Mom, we've had no screen at dinner.
Well, don't be mean to your mom. You want to do the chicken dance?
Freddy gives a resigned chuckle. Jin gulps a swig of water and makes his move.
So, bro, how was work? Things okay down at the hospital?
Wolf. It was a tough one today. I gave last rites to 3 people.
Lily glances over from the TV. A news report replays footage from Jin's heist.
Oh, no, not Mr. Huang. Oh, damn, they jumped a bus.
Lily returns her attention to the action on TV and cranks up the volume.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Mr. Huang in 212 and Miss Peng in 103 and a kid they brought in, actually. The family took it really tough.
Jin sighs, putting on an affect of being deeply moved.
Wow, man. They were lucky to have you there, to ease their transition and grief.
Freddy arches an eyebrow, surprised by Jin's uncharacteristic emotion.
Yeah, thanks.
No, seriously. I know I give you a hard time being, you know, a sap of a monk who doesn't do anything cool, but to be there when someone dies and help their family, that's really cool.
Cal, are you okay? You seem...
Jin glances to their mom, then leans in for a whisper.
Listen, I don't want to worry Mom, but I had a bit of a scare myself today. That's why I hung up on you.
Well, what happened? Are you okay?
Oh, hey, look at this. They almost ran down some old lady. Ooh, looks like she got a pretty good look at him.
On the TV, the news interviews the old woman that Jin almost ran over. Jin's eyes shoot wide in alarm. Freddy bristles, annoyed.
Not now, Mom. You were saying, bro?
Jin scoots his chair closer to Freddy, obscuring his view of the TV.
Yeah, a guy had a heart attack in my cab today. I had to rush him to the ER, and man, I was scared. But it turned out okay, and well, it's the best I felt in a while. I don't know. Maybe it's dumb, but I was thinking, you know, if you need the help, I could volunteer at the hospital sometime.
Freddy's jaw drops in astonishment.
What?
Just late at night, to start. You know, when no one's around, maybe I can, like, organize all the shock paddles and drugs that bring people back to life and all that. You guys have that stuff, right?
On TV, the news shows a police sketch that bears a stunning likeness to Jin. It's almost a frickin' photograph. Lily peers at it, squinting. She rubs her eyes, fumbles for something in her pocket, then calls back to the boys.
Have you boys seen my glasses?
Mom, turn that off.
Oh, all right, all right.
She turns off the TV. Freddy stands up, brimming with emotion.
Can you repeat to Mom what you just told me?
I was just telling Freddy here that I want to start volunteering down at the hospital.
Lily stands up with an astonished gasp. Freddy stifles back tears.
What?
We've been so worried about you, little bro. You've been so withdrawn lately. We were worried. I'm ashamed to admit it.
We were worried you had fallen in with a bad crowd, like those hoodlums you ran around with as a kid.
Freddy grabs Jin in a big bear hug.
Oh, I'm so relieved. Of course you can volunteer. I thought I'd never see the day.
A pang of anxiety on Jin's face. He's a bit startled by this outpouring of emotion.
Great. So, yeah, you think I could head down there tonight? You know, just to take a look around?
No. There's a bunch of paperwork you'll have to do, and you'll need an interview with HR. I'll put in a good word for you, of course. Well, with any luck, you can start next month.
Next month?
Freddy wraps Jin in another big hug.
Oh, this is going to be so great.
Yeah, can't wait.
As they hug, Jin spots Freddy's hospital badge attached to his keys on the table. He awkwardly pivots mid-hug, swipes the badge, and slips it into his pocket.
Oh, just a little coming in a little bit that way. Okay, sure, why not?
Sorry I touched you there.
Interior, Whiskey's apartment, night. Whiskey tearfully bids goodbye to Bambi, his super loud, super mean ass macaw squawking up a storm in his huge cage that takes up like a quarter of his tiny studio apartment.
Goodbye, Bambi. Daddy's gotta go away for a while.
Whiskey wipes away a tear and goes to pet Bambi, who shrieks and bites his finger, drawing a deep bloody wound. He sucks his finger, slings a big bag over his shoulder, and turns to his roommate, a stressed-out student trying to study in the corner with cotton balls shoved in his ears.
So I left next month's rent on the fridge. Here's Bambi's nose drops. He needs 2 a day for the next 4 months.
4 months? How long are you gone?
Gotta go. Good luck with finals.
The roommate looks at the nose drops, then nervously up to Bambi, already prying furiously at the metal bars of his cage. Exterior Whiskey's apartment, night. Whiskey shuts the door and gives a melancholy sigh. Wham! A hand wraps around his mouth and a gun jams into his back. It's Jin lurking over his shoulder. Jin whispers in Whiskey's ear as his eyes bulge in terror.
Shut up and move.
Whiskey whimpers in fright as Jin muscles him towards a waiting taxi cab. Behind him, the window of Whiskey's apartment squeaks open and his roommate shoos Bambi out into the night sky. Whiskey sees this and cries, giving muffled little sobs under Jin's hand. Aww. Interior Jin's cab, night. Whiskey drives the cab as Jin sits in the back, gun trained on the front seat. Whiskey's eyes dart nervously from the road to the rearview mirror, where he sees a steely-eyed Jin glaring back at him.
What do you want, Jin?
Just keep driving.
With another nervous glance, Whiskey slowly reaches down to his pocket and fumbles for his phone. Without taking his eyes off the wheel, he tries to move through his contacts, all while talking to Jin to keep him distracted.
Come on, man. We can talk about this. You want my money? It's yours. You want my new identity? You got it. I didn't want to be from Norway anyway, man.
Shut up and pull in here.
Whiskey panics as he turns the wheel.
Oh, God, please don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you.
The headlights of the taxi cab illuminate a sign outside a large building. SSP Buddhist Medical Center.
You're gonna kill me.
You're gonna kill me.
Cut to exterior medical center, night. Jin swipes his brother's security badge through a scanner and a back door beeps and unlocks. He pulls it open and motions for Whiskey to go inside.
You just hold it over. Nobody swipes badges anymore. The magnetic has fallen far away to near field. Anyway.
Jin does that thing Freddy says. He pulls it open and motions for Whiskey to go inside.
Jin, listen, man, this is a bad idea.
Shh.
Jin slips inside and shuts the door. Interior medical center, operating room, night. Jin flicks on the lights of an operating room and steps inside, gun drawn on Whiskey.
I'm serious, man. The human body isn't a light bulb. You can't just flick it on and off.
Why not?
Well, like if you flick a light bulb on and off, it burns out. You want to burn out?
So it is like a light bulb.
Ah, jeez, I'm not cut out for this. I'm a student, man. I'm a vet student. I operate on guinea pigs.
Jin glares at Whiskey, arms folded.
Whiskey, one of us is going to die in this room, and only one of us theoretically knows how to bring someone back. So who's it gonna be?
Whiskey gives an anxious whine, and we cut to interior operating room, night. Whiskey, now an OR scrub, scrolls through a WebMD article on an old computer in the back of the operating room. Jin waits impatiently on the table.
Okay, based on this article...
Whiskey turns to face Jin and holds up two syringes.
I kill you with this one, and I revive you with this one.
He double takes, then switches the syringes in his hands.
Wait, no, this one and then this one. No, I was right the first time. No, wait, this is my insulin. Oh God, I feel faint.
Whiskey sits on the edge of the table.
Jin, are you sure I can't talk you out of this?
Jin has finally had enough. He grabs Whiskey by the shirt.
Listen, punk, this is a score of a lifetime. Nobody's going to stop me.
Just then, the doors to the OR burst open, and Tequila, Cognac, and Brandy bust in, guns drawn.
Let him go, Jin.
Tequila double takes at seeing Jin on the OR table and Whiskey over him in scrubs.
Wait, what?
Whiskey rushes to Tequila's waiting arms.
Thank God. I stalled him as long as I could.
Whiskey, rat, hurry up and kill me.
No way, Jin. I got into medicine to help, not to hurt. I took an oath.
Fine, to hell with it. And to hell with all you.
He grabs a needle off the table and goes to plunge it into his arm. The crew gasps. Tequila lunges forward and grabs the needle a millimeter over Jin's vein. They engage in an intense, high-stakes arm wrestle over the needle.
You idiot, it's not worth it. You haven't seen what I've seen. Wheelbarrows of gold, enough to last a lifetime.
Jin drops the needle and catches it with his free hand. He spins around to stab himself again. Tequila grapples and they get into a frantic, close-quarters brawl over the needle. Tequila gets Jin in a chokehold. Jin, with a roar of strength, wrenches the needle free and stabs it into his arm. Only it's not his arm. It's Tequila's arm. Tequila looks down at the syringe sticking out of his forearm. He gasps. Tequila and Jin exchange horrified looks, as do the rest of the crew.
Boss!
You dumbass kid.
Tequila flops to the ground, dead. Jin stares, dumbstruck.
Oh my God.
Boom! Brandy's fist crashes into his head as she assaults him with a flurry of blows. Cognac rushes to Tequila's side and starts doing CPR. She turns to Whiskey, frozen in panic.
Help me, you idiot! Bring him back!
Whiskey looks at the syringes in his hands, gives Cognac a determined nod, and rushes over to her. Meanwhile, Brandy kicks Jin's ass up and down the room with blow after blow. He goes stumbling across the room and slams into the ground next to the OR table. Brandy rains punches down on him.
You stupid, arrogant piece of shit!
Jin grabs the nearby rolly cart and pulls it over to him to block her assault. Brandy's fist slams into the tray of syringes. She gasps and raises her fist. Four poison needles stick out of it.
Oh, fuck.
Brandy goes woozy, then stumbles backwards, knocking into Whiskey as he rushes towards Cognac. Whiskey trips, and the needle he's holding plunges straight into Cognac's eye.
Ah! Oh! Oh! Which one was it? Which one was it?
Whiskey looks down and realizes he is still holding the antidote syringe in his hand.
Not the good one. I hate you.
Cognac slumps over dead into Whiskey's arms. He shrieks to the heavens with a soap operatic cry.
No!
Whiskey, hysterical, clutches Cognac's dead body.
What have I done? What have I done?
Jin rushes over to him.
Whiskey, calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
I never told her how I feel. I'm going in.
Whiskey grabs a poison syringe, raises it high, and brings it down. Jin gasps and blocks it with his own arm. Whiskey gawks at him.
You're the only one who can bring us back.
Whiskey nods.
You got 2 minutes.
Jin's eyes roll back in his head as he slumps to the floor. Whiskey gasps, suddenly remembering something.
Oh, wait. Don't tell Cognac I like her.
Jin hits the floor dead, and we cut to exterior heaven again. The gang... Again, what the fuck? Exterior, heaven, day. The gangplank from the ferry hits the docks at the gates of Heaven City. Jin strolls down the gangplank, cool and casual, as first-timers freak out all around him. He moseys up the dock towards the line, towards the karmic scanners.
I'm sorry, ma'am. All karmic fates are sealed upon moment of death.
Jin steps up to the back of the line where Tequila, Cognac, and Brandy stand, nervously awaiting their destinies. Cognac is on her knees, begging to a TS Angel for mercy.
There's gotta be something I can do. I've been a terrible person. I need to atone. You want this watch? It's a Rolex. Take it.
Cognac offers up her watch. The angel stares down at her, unimpressed. Brandy, furious, yanks Cognac to her feet.
Get up, you baby. Weakness is the biggest sin of all. Get a hold of yourself.
Brandy slaps Cognac across the face.
Ow, ow, ow.
Hey, cut it out, you two. We're in heaven. Show some goddamn respect.
Tequila gasps at his blasphemous swear and clutches his mouth. He looks at the angel, who arches an eyebrow at him, makes a mark on his clipboard, and walks away. Tequila winces and goes to light a cigarette, frantically striking his lighter over and over. Jin, smug and insufferable, chooses this moment to make his presence known.
No fire in heaven.
His cohorts all look up and lock their eyes on him. Jin takes the cigarette from Tequila's mouth and gives it a puff.
All you gotta do is breathe.
Oh my god. Jin blows a cloud of smoke and winks at them. All at once, they grab Jin and start screaming in his face.
You smug son of a bitch!
You bastard!
You killed us, Jin! You killed us!
Hey, calm down, guys. Whiskey's gonna bring us back any second.
That dweeb's not gonna bring us back. Oh, God, I'm going to hell.
We're all going to hell. We're criminals. It's what we deserve.
No one's going to hell. We're just visiting. So let's make the most of it here and case the joint.
Tequila shakes his head and scoffs in incredulous frustration.
Case the joint? Are you serious? Okay, sure, Jin. Let's case the joint.
Tequila starts looking around at the city before them.
Security. Well, for starters, we've got about 4,000 angelic beings all over the place. A 10-mile-high wall that stretches out to eternity and...
Tequila's speech trails off as he spots something huge in the distance pulling into the port.
Giant floating pile of gold.
The rest of the crew turns around and gasps with glittering eyes at a colossal trash barge sailing towards the city. A giant pile atop it stretches for miles into the sky, only it's not hauling garbage. It's hauling golden treasures. A loud boom as the gold barge slams into the docks. All across the port, people stop what they're doing and gawk at the massive haul. A big smile curls on Jin's lips.
How's that for a score?
It's beautiful.
How do they get it inside?
Suddenly, the shriek of a whale cry pierces the air. The gang looks up and gawks once again in dumbfounded stupor at, whoopsie, an ancient angelic sky whale, old as time itself, floating over the city gates. Whoopsie glides majestically through the air and settles over the barge. A crew of burly angels atop Whoopsie cast chains over the side. More burly angels, even burlier than the last, link the chains up to the barge and nod to the angels atop the mighty whale. With a great bellow of exertion, Whoopsie rises upward, casting the barge aloft. Whoopsie floats back towards the city with a colossal pile of gold underneath. A huge shadow falls over our crew as Whoopsie sails right over them. A gust of wind knocks a single gold coin off the pile. It tumbles down through the air and towards the ground. Jin leans out and catches the coin as everyone else stares up, still dumbstruck. Jin smiles and pockets the coin.
Next!
This snaps the crew's attention forward. They look at the gain angel, motioning to them. It's their turn. Jin nods.
Okay, everyone. Just follow my lead.
Jin strolls up to the angel and freezes for a second when he realizes it's the same gate angel he met before.
Come on down, my friend, and try your luck. Hey, wait a minute. Haven't I done you before? Wait,
going in and out of a coma, huh? Yeah, it happens.
I want an hour of Matt's gin noises. He waves gin forward. Gin relaxes as he steps into the tube. The gate angel boots up the scanner and it begins to whir with life.
Well, it should be pretty quick. I mean, how much trouble could you have possibly gotten into since... Uh-oh.
Instantly, alarms sound. The tube turns red and the floor opens up beneath Jin. He plummets out of view as the crew, watching him, screams in horror.
Jin!
Oh, my God!
Exterior hell. Eternal night.
You've been waiting to write
Yes! Back. What a rush! Jin screams in pure terror as he falls through a vast, unending, swirling, infernal hellscape. The sound of a trilling, screaming souls beckons him forward. Jin's eyes bulge wide in mute fear as he falls. Cut to interior hospital OR room, night. Jin bolts upright, still screaming, and an adrenaline needle stuck in his chest. Whiskey, standing over him, falls backwards. The rest of the gang, crowded around, sighs with relief. Jin gasps for breath. He pulls that needle out of his chest and fishes a new gold coin out of his pocket. He flips it to Tequila, who holds it up with both hands. The crew gathers around Tequila and stares at the coin in awe. Jin lights up his cigarette and looks at the crew.
So, who's in?
Tequila, Cognac, and Brandy look up at Jin and smile. Whiskey turns green and barfs. Title slam. Heaven heist.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Together, we're The Flophouse,
a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Movies like Space Hobos, Into the Outer Reaches of the Unknown and the Things That We Don't Know, the movie, and also Who's That Grandma?
Zazzle Zippers, Breakdown 2, and Backhanded Compliment.
Elvis is a Policeman.
Baby Crocodile, and the Happy Twins.
Leftover Potatoes?
Station Wagon 3.
Herbie Goes to Hell.
New episodes available every other Saturday.
Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye! Bye.
All right. Well, there it is. Heaven Heist. I am really, really excited to get back into this one. I hope you guys are all too. I gotta say, it's kind of fun doing the hosting duty by myself, although I miss the witty banter of my co-hosts, Matt Marnold and Freddie Wong. So yeah, that's Heaven Heist, guys. We're gonna be diving in, like I said, next week, right where we left off. So hope you stick around with us in the new year. Hope you all had an amazing, cool, fun, and safe holiday, doing all your holiday stuff. Hope you got lots of presents, et cetera, et cetera. And that's going to do it for us this week. It's been a couple weeks since we've done a fan art roundup, so I have some amazing fans to shout out who have been giving us just so much cool, cool content over the break. First up is Andrew J. Young at That One GM on Twitter, who did a pair of really, really hilarious posters for us for Superman and Pixar's Toilets and Butts. Thank you so much, Andrew. And speaking of Pixar's Toilets and Butts, we also got an animation from Zachary McIntyre, who did an incredible animatic of one of the scenes from Pixar's Toilets and Butts. Now, this one's a little not safe for work. I'm not going to lie to you guys. There's some ding-dongs, there's some butts, there's some potty talk, but it is very, very, very funny, and that is available on our Facebook group. Another big breaking news update from Amy L. Johnston, Odd Amity on Twitter. She has just finished chapter 8 of her adaptation of our Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road episode. It's called The Other Side. It's really, really good. That's up on our Twitter. Go check it out. Special thanks to Gage Leroy Stoneman for posting an amazing poster for the Jar Jar Binks saga on our Facebook group. Really, really great job, Gage. Thank you so much for that. And finally, a very, very special story break shout out to the one, the only Nick Fegley, the Nick Fegley on Twitter, who just sent us, guys, it's so freaking cool. Nick made us a video game. Nick's made a couple games for us in the past. He did one based on Kangaroo Tennis. That was just a riot. This one is based on our breakout episode. And I gotta say, it's his biggest game yet. It's a freaking epic. It had me laughing out loud the entire time I played it. There's some really good twists on breakout in the game. And for you Dungeons and Daddies fans, there is a Glenn Close cameo if you keep your eyes peeled. So thank you so much to Nick. You guys all, you really made our holiday special by sending us all this fan art and stuff. So thanks to all the fans. Check out all this great fan art on our Twitter at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or our Facebook group bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
Thanks as well to Maximum Fun for having us on their glorious podcast network. Make it your New Year's resolution to check out some more Max Fun shows like Jordan Jesse Go or Switchblade Sisters or Can I Pet Your Dog? They've got a lot of great content in addition to us, of course. And that's going to do it for us this week, guys. I don't know how to sign out because normally we do our little word salad thing. So I'm just going to say I'm Will Campos here for Story Break. Take care of yourselves in the new year, guys. Happy 2020, and we will see you all next week.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we're the hosts of Dr. Game Show, which is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, regardless of quality or content, with in-studio guests and callers from all over the world.
And you can win a custom magnet.
A custom magnet.
Subscribe now to make sure you get our next episode.
What's an example of a game, Manolo?
Pokemon or medication.
How do you play that?
You have to guess if something's a Pokemon name or medication.
Medication.
First-time listener, if you want to listen to episode highlights and also know how to participate, follow Dr. Game Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We'd love to hear from you.
It's really fun.
For the whole family, we'll be every other Wednesday starting March 13th, and we're coming to Max Fun!
Snorlax.
Pokemon?